This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Good morning, family. It's a real privilege to share with you this morning. Thanks, Yaku. I also just want to honor leadership of this church, Yaku and Philip. They're really a blessing to me and my family. Like Yaku said, we've known each other, or friends, since 2001. So Shofar has been my house since 17 years. It's really a blessing. So thank you for having me here this morning and that I can share with you. I'm going to share a short word, except if I see you're not listening, then I'll just lengthen it. So short and in the spirit, I believe God just wants to impact us before we go on holiday. For a lot of you, it's the last morning here before you leave. So this morning we're going to talk about resting. Okay, is there anyone that needs a rest? Hey, this week that's all I heard. I'm tired. I need a rest. I want to go on holiday. It's always like that. And then this week that's coming now is even worse. So this morning we're going to just align ourselves with the word concerning rest, and just to align ourselves with what God says about resting, because if we're going to rest like the world rests, you will come back as tired. Physical rest is one thing, but deep soul level, spiritual level rest is what we're going to talk about this morning. Okay, so let's just pray quickly. Lord, we thank you for this morning. We open our hearts to your word, and we just bless you, God, for this church and us being together. Amen. Okay. Let's continue while we wait for that. So, all of us rest differently, right? Some people rest between people, and socially. Others rest on their own, and that's fine. But that's, like I said, it's almost on a physical, flesh level. And maybe you had a really tough year, and you'd never want to have this year over again. We're going to have time for ministry at the end. Then let's pray together. Seal it off, hand it over to God. This morning I'm also ministering to myself. When I read the word and when I prepared, God really spoke to me, because I fell into the normal trap of just going into performance mode and trying to work things out on your own. So this morning I want to also preach to myself. Okay. So the key scripture is Hebrews 4. Verse 1 to 12. Okay, sorry, it seems like we're having a bit of issue, but if you have your Bible here, just read with me, please. Hebrews 4, 1 to 12. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering into his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed, the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them. Not being mixed with faith in those who have heard it. Verse 3, for we who have believed do enter that rest. Then we skip to verse 9. There remains therefore rest for the people of God. Amen. For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works as God did from his. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Okay, I just want to read this in Afrikaans as well. Really beautiful. Want aan ons is die evangelie ook verkondig, net soos aan hulle. Maar die woord van die prediking het hulle nie gebaat nie, omdat het by die hoorders nie met geloof verenig was nie. Want ons wat geglo het, gaan die rus binne. Soos hy gesê het, daar bly dus 'n sabbatsrus oor vir die volk van God. So I just want to highlight three aspects of the scripture that we just read. First one is, the unbelieving cannot enter God's rest. But those mixing the word with faith, can enter his rest. It's reserved for God's people. Faith comes by hearing, and the hearing by the word. So we know that the word is a sword. It cuts deep, and we can only find rest if we allow the word to cut deep. And I see a mental picture or spiritual picture of this sword in your life, and you're resting right there on the edge of the sword. Okay, so see yourself with a sword deep inside you, not painful, but well positioned in your life, and you are resting on that cutting edge of the word. Can we just skip back, please, to the beginning? So maybe you feel like one of these, tired, really tired. And like I said, next slide, everyone rests differently. Some people just want to sleep, some want to surf, some want to do crazy stuff, but that is on our physical level. Okay, now we can continue, thanks. Okay, so just to recap that slide. Believing, mixing the word with faith, it's reserved for his people, and we need the word in our lives. So going on a holiday and thinking you're going to take a break from God and the word is the worst thing you can do. You will come back more tired than you left. So verse 11 there is beautiful. It's the Greek word for labor or diligently seeking his rest is sputazu. And it's to use speed, to make an effort, to be prompt, to be diligent. So the word says, let's use speed, let's be diligent, let's focus on entering his rest. And that's what I believe God is calling us to this morning. Okay, I'm not sure if you know John MacArthur. He's a well-known pastor and author. I just want to read something he says about rest. Rest also means freedom from whatever worries or disturbs you. Some people cannot rest mentally and emotionally because they are so easily annoyed. Every little nuisance upsets them and they always feel hassled. Rest does not mean freedom from all nuisances and hassles. It means freedom from being so easily bothered by them. In other words, it means freedom in the face of whatever would disturb your rest. To enter God's rest means to be at peace with God, to possess the perfect peace he gives. It means to be, listen to this, it means to be free from guilt and even unnecessary feelings of guilt. It means freedom from worry about sin because our sin is forgiven. God's rest is the end of legalistic works and the experience of peace in the total forgiveness of God. Now that's a holiday right there. Okay? That is a holy day, a holy moment with God. Freedom from worrying, freedom from guilt. So I want to say that know Christ and you will know rest. Know Christ and there's no rest. Here's the next one. So next slide, please. And in this life or the one to come. So sometimes we live like unsaved people, right? And that's why I said I'm preaching to myself this morning, because that's when you become tired, is when you start laboring in your own strength, yes? End of the year, projects must get done. What do? Just go into the flesh. You start performing and striving, working harder to the point that you just completely burnt out. You will hear some people say, yes, I'm burnt out. I'm done. I just want to leave everything. And that's because you're not resting in the knowledge of who you are. You're not resting in your identity in Christ. You just went over and tried to do everything in your own power. And God calls us away from that. Remember, his rest is reserved for his people, his sons and his daughters. So I want to ask you a question. Does knowledge of who you are change the way you live? Yes, it does. If you know your identity, it changes the way you live. Now, some of you might have heard me previously used this experience, example. So say Christy here. Do you guys know Christy? He's a wonderful guy. Get to know him if you don't know him yet. Would you believe me if I tell you Christy's father is a very, very well-known person and very, very rich? Okay? You won't believe who his dad is. Okay? So I just made that up. So if I were to tell you his father is Richard Branson or whatever, your view of him would have changed, right? But if I tell you that his father is a son of the Most High God, that owns everything, is in control of everything always, that will change, if he knows that deeply, it will change the way he lives. So I always say that I can see when a young person is established in his identity. You can see it. There's a peace. There's a knowing of who that person is. So if Christy's father was Richard Branson, he would have a lot of false peace in terms of his monetary security. Right. But he would have that. So this morning, if we don't know who we are in God, our identity is not established. That means we try to live in our own strength. But if we know that we are children of the Most High, that changes the way we live. That in itself brings peace. So I want to say it's the knowledge of whose you are that changes the way you live. Knowing who you are settles you. It brings peace. Even Jesus' identity was founded on his sonship. And likewise, our identities should rest in our sonship. And while I talk about sonship just for the ladies here, it's ironic that the sons of God make up the bride. Okay, so there's no gender issue there. Collectively, we are the bride. So if you hear sonship, daughtership is just not a word. Otherwise, we could have used daughtership as well. Okay, so it's not because of who you are, but whose you are that you find your identity and your peace. Whose you are determines who you are, and who you are determines what you do. In the world, it's the other way around. What you have, what you do, determines who you are. With us, whose we are determines everything else. So the encouragement this morning is not to live like the world, because there's no peace in that. So I'm blending two concepts here. It's resting in our identity. Okay. Let's read Galatians 4, 6 to 7. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ at all from a slave, though he is master of all. But he is under guardians and stewards until the time appointed by the father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. Verse 4. But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive adoption as sons in Christ. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the spirit of his son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. You all know this scripture, or it's a very well-known scripture, but I want you this morning just to allow the Holy Spirit to let it sink in that you are an heir of Christ, an heir of Christ, the King of all kings. We have been adopted as sons and daughters. We have an inheritance as an heir in Christ. I know it sounds cliched and you've heard this before, but I'm trusting the Holy Spirit to let that settle so that in that knowing, you can find rest. It's in that knowing of who you are and whose you are that we can find rest. So the problem is that, just the previous slide, I just want to highlight that. Next. Just Galatians 4. There. Now, I say that an heir, as long as he is a child, meaning he doesn't know who he is, does not differ at all from a slave. Now, the problem is many times we move from being slaves in the world to being slaves in the kingdom. Yes, meaning you have the mindset of a slave. This is part of my testimony. I got saved when I was very young, and I'm very thankful to God for the person that he sent across my path at that point. I got saved, and then for many years, I just strived to try to impress God. I tried to do everything right, and mostly I succeeded in that up until a point, meaning trying to be a good person. Let me rather say it like that. I really tried hard up until a point in Standard 8 where I just got tired. I got tired of trying to do the right things, tired of trying to impress God. That performance, that slave mentality I brought with me into the kingdom. And then one weekend, one of my friends came back from the coast, and he looked different, he talked different, and he just started preaching. This guy stuttered, but when he shared the gospel, he didn't stutter at all. So I walked up to him, I said, "Marius, what happened? I've been saved for many years. You've been saved for one day, and you're just on fire for God." And he said, "No, I gave my life to God, and I got filled with the Holy Spirit." And I said, "No, but what's that? I've never heard about that." And shortly thereafter, I also got filled with baptized in the Spirit, and then things just start changing because the Holy Spirit could minister to my slave mentality, to that performance-driven approach I had. So if there's anyone this morning that would like to be filled with the Spirit, we can pray with you afterwards, because there are just many things that God can only change through the Holy Spirit in your life, even though you are saved. And at that point, I still remember I was in Pick n Pay, and it hit me, it changed my whole life, the fact that I'm a child of God, and that so I was saved, but I never fully understood what it means to be the child of the Most High, child of the King of all kings. And that's when I found my peace. And I still remember a friend came in to me and he said, "Yes, your eyes have changed. You always had these," I was just like wired always. I just wanted to do stuff and run. And like I said, try to do good, but I lacked the peace of God in my life. And he just said, "You look so peaceful." And that's because I received the knowledge, or I fully understood who I was in Christ, that I do not have to perform or try to earn my way as a child. And that's what the scripture says there is, as long as he is a child, meaning he doesn't understand who he is, does not differ from a slave. And then just as sons and daughters, we have an amazing inheritance in Christ. I mean, if your Father is the God of the universe and you're an heir of Christ, then your inheritance is pretty big, yes? So let's read 2 Peter 1 verse 2. "God, according to his divine power, has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who has called us to glory and virtue. According to his divine power, has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness." So as sons, we have this inheritance, and this morning we open up our hearts to fully comprehend this, to go into this holiday with peace, with rest in our identity and in terms of who we are. Okay, guys, so I said I'm going to be short. I didn't lie, but I deliberately wanted to share a short word this morning because I sense that many people are not just tired in the flesh. You're tired in terms of your faith. You might have lost hope. Or maybe not. Maybe you just want to celebrate this year with God and with friends around you. So I want us to take opportunity now for prayer and ministry. If you feel like you're burnt out, maybe your faith has been shaken this year to the point that you don't know if God is still alive, then I would like to trust the Holy Spirit to rectify that and just for you to understand who you are in Christ. And then if there's anyone here that's not given their lives to Christ, I would also love to pray with you, because otherwise none of this would be relevant to you at this point. So if the band can just worship one song with us, or lead us in one song. Okay, guys, let's stand, please. Okay, let's close our eyes. I'm going to trust God to work through us now. And then if you want prayer or need prayer, please come forward while we worship. So Holy Spirit, we welcome you here this morning to speak to us, to minister to us, Lord. Some of us might be tired. Some of us might have lost hope in you. And this morning we ask, Holy Spirit, that you show us who God is and who God is in our lives. We thank you, Lord, for the wonderful blessing of being an heir of Christ. We bless you for that, Jesus, that you died on a cross and that you rose again. And because you did that, Jesus, we can be heirs of the God Most High. And Father, we also want to thank you that you sent your Son to die for everyone in this room. We bless you for that, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, that you did that, that you gave your Son away for us. We just bless you, Trinity, this morning. Holy Spirit, Jesus, God the Father, we bless you. We thank you for the fullness we have in you. Lord, there where we're not sure about our identities or where it's been knocked in this year with circumstances or people that have maybe just squashed our identities in you, we come and stand on it in this morning. We stand on who we are in you. We thank you that that will change the way we live, that that will bring rest, it will bring peace. We welcome your peace here this morning, Lord, and we don't just want to pray for this holiday. We ask that your peace remains, that we guard your peace in our lives. Thank you, Lord, that this word is like I said, not just for this morning, but for next year and the rest of our lives. So we bless you for that, in Jesus' name. I just see there's someone here with black curly hair. I'd just like to pray with you. If you feel that's you, then while we worship, you can come forward. And I also see a lady with long blonde hair, straight blonde hair. God also just wants to minister to you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that we can just hand over all our troubles, all our anxiety and worries. You can hand it over and just say thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, let's worship a song together, and then if you'd like to pray or pray with someone, please just come forward.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.